Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to The Mother of All Shows, the podcast that takes a deep dive into motherhood and parenting with a comedic twist. Because if we can't laugh when our kid has to covertly pee in a hot chocolate cup during a bathroomless train ride, then we're all screwed. I'm your host, Kimmy Gatewood. If there's one experience everyone has had in this mortal coil, it is that we were all born. Yep, we all emerged gloriously from a uterus. And while it may be a small part of your life experience, it's a memorable affair for every parent that can cause excitement, anxiety, existential crisis, and orgasms? Oh God, more on that later. Today we will discuss the birth plans and doulas. To birth plan or not to birth plan, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the hospital or home to suffer the pain and pushing and outrageous fortune you'll pay, or to take the epidural against a sea of contractions, or by breathing, end them. To birth new life, to sleep no more. Thank you so much. Also, what's a doula? On today's episode, I will talk to a real-life doula who will explain to me her role in birth and coach me through the process. In, two, three, out. Two, three. But first, I speak with my good friends Rebecca Johnson and Amanda Diver, where we will discuss what we didn't expect when we were expecting. Enjoy! Amanda, did you have a birth plan?
No.
Yeah, me neither. Did you feel the pressure? Like, did you feel weird that you didn't have a birth plan for any reason?
I knew a lot of people, know a lot of people who did.
Uh-huh.
But for me, I mean, if there had been something important that I needed to make sure that I had addressed for health reasons or anything else, then I would have. But because things were kind of going
like perfect.
Well, no, but not I would. I mean, not no, perfectly, no, but like kind of normal. And I realized that like there's no way I'm going to be able to control this. And if I have like mm-hmm. these best laid plans and then something goes wrong, I'm going to feel like I failed at something. And like, why set myself up
right
to feel like I've done something wrong? I mean, as it was, right. I went in thinking that I wouldn't use an epidural.
Mm-hmm.
And then
girl, yes.
Yeah. And then
that technically is a birth plan.
That is a birth plan.
I mean, actually, that's
oh
a birth plan.
Oh my God. We just outed you for having a birth plan.
I lied. Girl. I lied.
Even if it's not written down, if you have a plan of action, that's the birth plan.
Well, but I left it open.
I mean, I feel like that is what a birth plan is. It's a guideline of what your wants are.
I feel like it's an outline of how do you think this, how would you like this birth to go, yeah. right? Ish, right?
It's, yeah, like your wants. So it your would want. Be your preferences. So if you want to say, I'd prefer to have the least medical interventions as possible. So I would start with saying, like, I would rather not be induced. I would rather not be given, like, epidural. I would rather not have that. I would rather not get checked here. Or if you know the different kinds of pain medications that are available, you could say, I don't want this kind. I would only want this kind. Yeah. So what it's just preferences.
What do you think the big fear is, though? That what do you think the fear is of mothers coming into birth? Like, what do they think that's going to happen, I guess, in a hospital, you should say?
I mean, well, now my mind is just blown because I've just realized that I had a birth plan and I didn't know I did.
But you didn't write it down, but you
no.
just said, you just told your wife, I don't want an epidural, right?
Yeah.
Did you tell
and
her
I,
or did you tell your doctor?
Well, I actually did tell the nurse. Like, now I've realized, like, yeah. I fully had a birth plan.
Oh, my God.
Because I also told the nurses that, and they just kept saying, we're just going to keep checking in with you and asking. And then in like hour 12 of labor, I was like, hey, you know what? I have changed my mind.
Please, oh my God, this is going to be so cute when I get
bring that lovely lesbian anesthesiologist in here and tell her to put that.
Okay.
Yeah, it was kind of great.
She was a lesbian as well?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's cool.
I know. It was lovely.
How does that, how do you find that out? She's like, hey girl, me
well,
too?
Well, because as like I was... As I was getting the epidural and holding on to my wife and yeah. she was also helping me, she was like, yeah, my wife and I are thinking about having a baby.
Oh.
And so we were doing the like lesbian to lesbian.
You're like, just stick it in. I don't care. I don't care who you fuck. Stick the needle
in me.
And then you can reflect back, oh, that lesbian anesthesiologist. She was so cute. Oh, my God. That's so funny. Oh, my God. My birth plan was, I wrote it down on a piece of paper. It was, have a baby.
Good plan.
That's all I knew. I just knew that I was going into a safe place, right? And I knew that a baby was going to come out the other side. Mm-hmm. And I just had to be open to whatever possibilities there were. And I was scheduled to have a C-section. And then my daughter came out.
She was like, I have a birth plan, bitch. Yeah.
She's like, oh, you're not going to plan?
I'm coming out your cooter, not your tummy. I don't know why she said tummy. Like, that's no, so that's cute. So, and she so said cute. Cooter. I mean, my God. Lottie.
Very rude. But so back to my question about what do you think people are afraid of? The thing that I hear a lot from moms is that they're afraid of medical interventions, meaning I think ultimately C-section. And I know that drugs are a part of it. I know that like needles are a part of it. But I think there is a stigma around C-sections. But do you agree with that, or do you think there's something else?
I think it's C-sections. Mm-hmm. I think, though, yes, there is a stigma, but I think it's actually more deeper than that, mm-hmm. and that the recovery from a C-section is a lot harder. And in our country, there's a lot more C-sections than there are in a lot of other developed nations, mm-hmm. and they're more risky for the mom. And it's not always the situation. It's not always easy, because then sometimes with a C-section, you recover for it's 5 weeks and you can't like walk around and anything. And now if you need a C-section, mm-hmm. fine. But right. there are certain things that can be done potentially, like in my situation, because I had said that I wanted the least medical interventions. I had said that I did not want to have my dilation checked unless it was absolutely necessary. And I said, don't tell me anything. And right. like basically talk to my husband. And then actually Shelley Slocum was my doula. Mm-hmm. And so talk to her. Who so the idea was, though, at Cedars, where I delivered, they do a thing called rock and roll birth. Where wow. it's true.
Excuse me. Are you ready to have a baby? Oh, wow.
And my birth plan.
Sorry, do you want me to
hip hop?
Oh, that's so disappointing.
No, but what it is if
really
the,
I get country music. Yeah. Fuck you, Cedars.
Didn't you read my plan?
Didn't you read my sheet music?
Oh, we brought our strings. We forgot our guitars, man. Sorry.
No, but what it is that if your baby's having a hard time, if it's having a hard time getting a position, then instead of just automatically putting you into a C-section, they will actually move you and set you into positions to help your baby get into the right position. That mm-hmm. actually happened to me. So he all of a sudden went sideways, mm-hmm. which would be in most circumstances, I would have had a C-section right away. But instead, they'd basically trust your body. And there's like midwives on staff round the clock, mm-hmm. in addition to the doctor. And they kept moving my body in such a way that eventually Fred got into position and I was able to give birth.
So all that rock and roll music.
It was rock and roll.
Get me in there.
Yeah. And so it's just a cool thing.
Yeah, I hear you, you know, and I think that's important, like talking to your doctors, knowing what you want. There's also the other part of it, which is medical insurance has fucked a lot of things as well. Mm-hmm. There's like a risk aversion mm-hmm. that's happening that might trigger a C-section earlier. There's also modern medicine, which has saved a lot of lives. So mm-hmm. if somebody's, you know, blood pressure is dropping or the heart rate is going down, you can understand that they've seen people die before. I don't think it's a money grab because it's such an emotional thing.
Right. No, I don't think it's a money grab. I think it's a risk assessment. And mm-hmm. and it totally is insurance. And I also think if someone has a C-section, great. Like, and if they choose to have a C-section, great. But I think that if you don't need it, mm-hmm. and there's things that can be done so then you don't have to have it, like a full surgery, and yeah. instead our bodies actually a lot of times can just do it. And so, you
and
know,
if you can't, it's okay too. No
yeah,
shame.
Yeah. That's the thing. And so, right. and it's more about like learning about your body and understanding that like, oh, our bodies could do this. And then sometimes they can't. And then back in the day, we would have just died.
Yeah,
so now
100%.
We have, so it's back a medical intervention. Yeah. It's like a medical intervention that's totally necessary and totally viable. And also some people just choose to do that.
Yeah.
And that's fine too.
Mm-hmm.
But that's choice.
What do we think of when we think of a doula? I feel like I rebelled against the idea. I kind of felt like it was just somebody that was going to pet my hand and just be like, yes, girl, breathe. I got you, girl. Like, I don't know. I felt like it was something that I don't understand why. I just feel like straw skirts and like
Hawaiian skirts. Yeah. Pina coladas. Why did you say no to this? So I worked with a doula who is our friend, but she also trained at like one of the top birth education places in LA, Beanie Birth, and took class there. And I feel like there were some things that when the doctor would come in and say it to BJ, she was able to sort of translate some of the things. And like at one point they wanted to do something. I forget what it was. They wanted to do some medical thing. And BJ like was like, do we need to do this? And like him and Shelly talked about it for a second. And then they asked the doctor like, do we actually need to do this? Because you're saying it's going to be very painful to her.
Right.
And they were like, no, we don't have to. And then they didn't do it. And so it was like, but she really did rub my back. She got me in a position so that I did about 6 hours of the extreme pain of labor. And she got me through that. And it was like putting me in different positions, rubbing my back, helping me breathe, like staring at me right in the close in the face and like helping me breathe and like getting me through it. So it really is like a support. It is. She didn't wear
it's a like
a skirt.
Personal.
It's
why
a personal
not?
Trainer. It's a
like
birth
a personal
trainer.
Birth yeah, trainer. Sure. Exactly. Sure. Yeah. Because I felt like it was one of those things that was really expensive. Like it was before Glow. So we were really poor. now I'm so rich and we get four doulas. Fuck yeah, I don't even need them.
Just hire a personal trainer.
Fuck you, more doulas. No, but I felt like it was one of those things where I couldn't justify putting the money into it when I was already paying for a doctor. And so therefore I just labeled it frivolous. Did you have a doula?
I did not.
Okay.
I kind of was in the same camp that you were, Kimmy, and that I was like, well, I really like my doctor and, you know, my wife was with me. Her mother was also there. And then one of my best friends, McCarran, who actually is a personal trainer. So like,
oh, cool.
So
you did have a birth plan and a personal trainer.
And a personal trainer.
They were all in the room.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's so cool.
Which was great. So I had like a good,
you had a good support system.
Support system right. there with me. And yet it was the same. I felt like for me, I kind of associate doulas more with like home birth. And
sure.
And those kind of situations. And for me, it just seemed like, yeah, like an extra thing that I probably didn't need. Although hearing about the back rubs, now I have some regrets.
For the record, I didn't pay. I did not pay my friend. So when we talk about expense, probably if I didn't have a very close friend who was a doula,
yeah,
I wouldn't have had a doula. And I took classes at Beanie Birth because it was my friend. And I took her, you know, hypnobirthing class, which she really talked about just using like meditation techniques to get through the pain, and it really worked, and it didn't make it not hurt. It just made me be able to like breathe, kind of like when you're working out. And
isn't
it hurts.
Isn't it nice that birth is like the one time where we focus on how we're going to deal with something? I mean, we know in birth, you know, it's going to be painful, right? And it's going to be emotional.
Mm-hmm.
You know that it's going to be a mess.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things make me question why you'd want to do it at home.
I do
like
think
the best part.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, it's so gross.
But I also think that there's an element of like as you've said many times, like we've been doing this for millions of years. Like we've been giving birth. But there was an element of like before hospitals. Yes, women died in childbirth more often. But there also was a village element to it where the women in the community would come together and help.
Make Handmaid's Tale.
Handmaid's Tale is a dystopian future, not the depiction of the past. Right. But there was an element of like community of women helping each other.
Uh-huh.
And I think that having, you know, the medical profession is very male. They test on males. They used to put women in a twilight sleep to give birth. And they'd be like screaming in pain, but wouldn't remember it because they'd be basically like given roofies. So I think there's an element. Yeah, there's an element of like having that, trying to bring some of that community in. And I think the
but
comfort
yeah.
of being at home is for some people really appealing.
For sure. Don't you think though there is a step too far with the home birth almost like shame, if you will? I think that there is a step too far in the expectation to have a natural birth without medication, like in your house or in a bathtub or not a hot tub because that's dangerous, but, you know, I feel like
warm
tub. I feel like there's an expectation. There's a flip side to this.
Well, I think I think when it's used as a point of pride or superiority, then it's a problem.
That's exactly what I'm. That's what
because
I mean.
Obviously,
yeah.
you know, women have been having babies at home for as long as
yeah,
as human
in
time.
The woods, in cars.
you know, yeah. And so like,
where else? That's it. Just in the woods and in cars.
Yeah. And even before cars were invented, they were having babies in cars. It was that weird. Was what a car was before. And then they were like, wait, we some man looked at it and was like, there's an engine. This isn't just like a baby making vehicle.
You know, obviously there's nothing inherently wrong with wanting to have a baby at home or having a baby at home. Mm-hmm. I don't think. There have been times where I have felt judged for having a baby like at Cedars with a doctor mm-hmm. using an epidural, even though I did have a community of women around me.
Where does the judgment come from?
There have been women that I've known who have had home births, and some of them, it's just been like us sharing stories and it's been very normal. And then sometimes there's kind of a like, oh, well, I did it at home because I wanted to do it naturally and beautifully. And like where right. it gets where I'm like, yeah, well, you know, mine was also beautiful and loving and I was surrounded by
lame. Lame. I mean, oh, you had a lesbian anesthesiologist. Yeah. All right,
well,
you're
yeah,
in. You're
there's
in.
Some people who are like, cool. There's a video called Orgasmic Birth.
Oh, I know. Oh, my
and,
God.
And one of Let's our friends actually it. Was like, did you know that when you have a baby, you can have an orgasm? And I was like, I'm sure that happened to two people. Like, but somehow they're in this documentary.
Also, no fucking thank you.
Yeah, I don't want to have an orgasm by my son coming out of
that's
me.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't want an orgasm from
like
my child.
Like, I can come other times.
Like, God, no.
Any other time.
God, no.
I don't need to fucking come in front of everyone in a pool. With that's all these like, people, I'm not an exhibitionist.
No,
I mean, that sounds like some S&M shit, basically. Like, plant my nipples, let me give birth, like, let's have another baby because I need to have another orgasm.
Yes, I can only orgasm when I have a baby. I go into relationships like that. Listen, I can only orgasm when I'm giving birth.
He was like, I care so deeply about you.
I'm quiverful. Really. I've had 20 children.
I am never looking at women with lots of kids the same way again. Like, oh, you are kinky.
I do think there's judgment. I just think there's judgment on all sides. And I think that there is.
Of course.
It's the same thing as like taking pride in either not having a plan or taking pride in being so natural. And anytime you're thinking that what you do is the way for everyone, I feel like that's not cool.
I super agree.
And it's like I don't think there's anything wrong with people having C-sections. And I think it's amazing that what the medical like marvel that is saving lives every day and any way that a baby comes into the world is amazing.
But except with orgasm.
Like, except
that's
with orgasm.
That's not okay.
We judge that. That's where we draw the judging line. I did have, after I gave birth, one person that we were friends with constantly messaged me on Facebook asking me if it was a natural birth. Like, and she had had a natural birth. And it was like over and over again. And I was
weird.
Like,
"What? It's all natural. Hey.
But it was just that annoying. Well, and you know, obviously that too, natural is the slang for like pain-free. Pain medication free, but
painful.
No, painful
medication
yeah,
free.
Pain.
Painful
pain.
Medication free. But it was like, why are you asking me this over? Like, if I wanted to share that info, which I didn't have that, but if I wanted to share that info, fine. But if I'm
is
not sharing
like,
that info, why do you keep asking me?
Is this like baseball stats time. For women?
You know yeah, oh my mean? God, like, totally.
It's just like, okay, so I put Amanda on my dream team. She went with the epidural though, so like I didn't get
she's
all
off.
This.
Yeah, she's on my off. Fantasy like, birth team.
Fantasy birth team.
Speaking of fantasies,
oh boy,
my friend came during. So she.
So that's definitely 3 points
yeah,
up there.
So I win $500 at the end of this birth season.
Up next is my conversation with comedic actor, podcaster, and certified doula, my friend, Shelley Slocum. She was also Rebecca's real-life doula. She's a mother of two girls and a wonderful calming force. Stay tuned.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
My name is Shelley Slocum. I have two kids, And right now I am an actress and a writer. And I worked for a little while as a doula and a childbirth educator.
Can anybody off the street become a doula?
Like, absolutely.
Amazing.
Yeah. So there is a training. So there's like two major organizations. Mm-hmm. One of them is called DONA. And for that, you go to a 3-day training taught by someone that DONA has certified. And
so close to donut. I love it.
The place that I got trained at is in Sherman Oaks. It's mm-hmm. called Binny Birth mm-hmm. by a woman that then became my mentor. Mm-hmm. Her name is Anna Paula Markell. She's fabulous. The other place is called Kappa. It Kappa. Came to me. Yeah, it's two P's, I believe.
Like, what sorority are you in? Are you in Kappa or Dona?
And I might totally be wrong. Like, maybe I am just thinking of a sorority. Maybe I'm totally wrong. But I'm pretty sure it's Kappa and Dona.
Is there rivalries between Kappa and
100%.
Dona? 100%. Oh my God!
100%.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like I did Dona. So what I heard was only from the Dona perspective, which is basically like we're like the Harvard of doula education versus like the Kappa one is like, I think it's like a one-day workshop. People don't even have to be certified to teach that.
The community
like, no
college
one cares.
Of completely.
Completely. Some of the training is literally going and doing it. And you have to have a sense of the birth mm-hmm. process. And just if you know like the skeleton of what a birth is supposed to be, then you can help a woman. The idea of being a doula is literally to serve her and to protect mm-hmm. her memory of the birth. That's the whole
memory
goal.
Of the birth.
The memory of the birth.
You know what I remember about my birth?
I want to hear.
When the doctor said, yeah, we don't really actually know a lot about childbirth. So
what? While you were in labor?
Yes.
Wait, I have so many questions.
In the way that she, like we were, it was about 8 a.m. Like I was going to have a C-section at like 9 or something. And then Lottie just came in like 20 minutes at 8 o'clock. And they're just like, well, we have no idea how to predict when a baby or how a baby is going to come.
Oh
so that
gosh.
Like she like admitting that was actually very comforting to mm-hmm. me because like as much as doctors go to like school mm-hmm. for years and years and years mm-hmm. about these things, which is obviously very important, blood work and genetics and all that stuff.
Totally.
However, the actual birthing process, you kind of are just guessing.
100%.
100%. You don't know which way the baby's going to turn and why that happens mm-hmm. and how you can change it. Like there are definitely methods to try to change mm-hmm. the position of babies or make it more comfortable, but you don't know.
You do. There's a, I think it's really sort of the art of it is surrendering mm-hmm. to it. And I think you do have doctors that are more, conservative, I want to say, who do like to manage it, who like to do their best to manage it. I'll
manage
say.
What?
Manage the labor. So if they have okay. a woman coming in, depending on the given circumstance, if they give the woman Pitocin, they'll, in their mind, increase it every half hour or every mm-hmm. hour. And then they have a sense of like, okay, at this point, I kind of expect her to be 8 centimeters dilated.
Right.
Then I'll know that I can leave my golfing or whatever. I don't know why. In my mind, they're always golfing. And I can come
all
to
doctors
the hospital.
Golf. All doulas are just journaling, writing
exactly
essays.
Right. Depending on where they train. Depending on where they train. Yeah.
I mean, I was on Max Pitt. That's Max Pitocin for you guys who don't know. For like a full day and nothing was happening. And
totally.
Then she came out like a slip and slide.
Yeah, so. Totally. And some of that too is like, they don't know how much of it's related to a woman's brain. A woman doesn't even fully know. I can tell you from a hormonal level that if a woman's neocortex is activated and she's thinking, much like in an orgasm, she's not going to open. That's just the truth. So it's the same hormones that are in labor that are in an orgasm. If you're like going to orgasm and someone's like, hey, do you want me to, you know, make chicken or steak for dinner or whatever, you're not gonna orgasm. Because if you're like, I actually feel like shrimp, like you're not gonna orgasm. The same is true for a laboring woman.
I have so many questions.
Hit me up. I may not even have answers because like we said, we don't really know about
labor. So you're saying that our uteruses open up when we orgasm?
We don't really know what starts labor. That's accurate. There's theories. Okay. Right. One theory is that when the uterus is ready and when the cervix is sort of in a ready spot, that mm-hmm. it's sort of softened and ripened, you could say, the baby's lungs are ready to breathe outside. Okay. That makes the most sense to me when I've heard that. When the baby's lungs are ready to breathe, the baby signals to the mother's hypothalamus, which is in her brain, mm-hmm. and then the brain, her hypothalamus, releases oxytocin. It might be back here. I'm just pointing to my head because I don't know. That hypothalamus will release oxytocin. There are receptors that have now opened on the uterus uh-huh. that receive that release of oxytocin in the body, and then that starts a contraction. Every single time a woman has a contraction without Pitocin, that cycle is going on. Baby, hypothalamus, oxytocin, contraction. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If a woman is thinking in her brain, doing whatever, math, oh, don't forget to pack this. Oh, honey, did you grab the pillow? Mm-hmm. Oh, this nurse is asking me when I took my last prenatal, whatever. That is going to interfere with that relationship. So when a woman's at home laboring, mm-hmm. she usually is like in a rhythm, like, okay, okay, okay. And a lot of times we become like animals. So women are like standing on their 2 feet. And mm-hmm. then the closer they get to labor, they go down on all fours because we are animals, everybody. You just forget that. But labor reminds you. Uh-huh. She needs to feel safe. Uh-huh. She needs to feel warm. Mm-hmm. And she needs to feel like unthreatened in any way.
Yeah.
That is what's going to help her release oxytocin, which mm-hmm. is ultimately going to open the cervix. Mm-hmm. All the contractions are doing are repositioning the baby and opening the cervix.
Got it.
The cervix is literally the opening to the uterus. It's like if you look at a balloon, it's just the opening to the uterus. Mm. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. And in labor, you're just opening. You're opening. Like, it's really not that different from if a cat were in labor and we were all right here and we were like, oh my gosh, look at the cat. Everybody come and see the cat in labor. Oh my God. And then you know what happened? That cat would stop being in labor. The cat would be like, I don't feel safe. This is crazy. I'm not sure. All these people are staring at me. And then later everybody would fall asleep and it'd like go in a cupboard under the kitchen sink and give birth.
I'm obsessed with all of this. I have more questions about the doula themselves, but while I'm thinking about it, I've always thought that when I meet pregnant women for their first child, mm-hmm. that I tell them, yes, the birth is an important part of becoming a mother, mm-hmm. but it's not the end of the world mm-hmm. if it doesn't go how you think.
God. Totally.
And I think that that is the thing that women are not taught to deal with, is mm-hmm. that the birth is actually the least important part of the journey. Mm-hmm. It's the beginning for mm-hmm. sure. And mm-hmm. it's definitely like a weird thing that mm-hmm. happens very infrequently, mm-hmm. like in a woman's life, unless you're my grandmother who had 13 children and 3 miscarriages. God. So lots busy uterus. Of uteral work. Mm-hmm. Is that the right? Yeah. Oxytocin catacombs. What is it?
Lots of oxytocin.
Yeah. But, it is simply not even the beginning, but it's a part of the journey mm-hmm. of motherhood, and that you cannot beat yourself up for not doing it all mm-hmm. natural, mm-hmm. for maybe have like making some weird choices in the birth. It cannot be a place where you blame yourself for the rest of your life, because you cannot start a child's life hating yourself for not doing mm-hmm. something that they'll never remember. Mm-hmm.
And I would frame that. I have two thoughts based on that. So mm-hmm. one, I think it's important for women to look at birth as an opportunity for them to find their assertive voice, which means it might be one moment where they're like, I want the epidural and I want it now. Like whatever. It could be that. It could be that they didn't have the birth of their dreams, or the baby came early and the baby's in the NICU and they're like, excuse me, I need this for my baby and I need it now. Because that assertive voice will become the crux of what they can stand on as a mother. Second point, which I think was the most important thing I learned mm-hmm. from teaching childbirth education, is that there was a study done in 2008 called Listening to Mothers Too. First study where they ever asked women how they felt about their birth. And they got all the statistics. Some women had vaginal births with an epidural. Some women had natural births. Some women had cesarean births. When it boiled down to it, it didn't matter as much how the woman had the birth, or if they had the birth of their dreams, or if they didn't. The thing that mattered is if they felt like they were a part of the decision-making process with their care provider. Mm-hmm. So the biggest decision you will make that determines your memory and the way you feel about your birth is who you pick as a care provider and whether or not that care provider allows you to be a part of the decision-making process. But a care provider who understands this will tell you, okay, I'm going to do this. This is what's going on. And you'll have a little sense. And that's very helpful. Very, very helpful for all of it.
I think the thing that I didn't realize about doulas is that they're you know, advocates, I guess, for mothers who might not be as strong-willed as I am.
And I would say that that's actually a kind of questionable term to use with doulas.
Advocate?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because like therapy, if you advocate for the woman, you have to be very delicate in how you do that. And some doulas are like, that's why I am a doula. And that's okay. And they can do that. But if you steal...
That's that Dona lifestyle. That's not that Kappa lifestyle. You know what I'm saying?
I think it actually sounds more Kappa.
Yeah.
If you steal a woman's opportunity for growth or you maneuver around for a birth scenario because of what you think should happen... It's kind of questionable because it's not about you, doula, who believes only in natural birth or whatever. It's right. about the woman.
Now, Rebecca had told me that you did hypnotherapy the first time.
I did. I did hypnobirthing.
Hypnobirthing.
Oh, my gosh.
So you did hypnobirthing for your own birth.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
Giving birth helped me come into my own. I'm going to start with that.
Yes.
Going back, before that, I feel like I was... really interested in my husband's opinion on many different levels. Mm-hmm. And I remember we watched The Business of Being Born and he made a small comment that I totally internalized and was like, that is truth, which was like, it's sad that like we are using medical ways of like handling something that's natural, or some comment like that. And I was like, okay, wow. And so hypnobirthing came across our plate when we moved out here. I was pregnant. My midwife.
I remember you being pregnant out here.
I remember you holding my baby. Yeah. I still have that photo. She gave us a couple options of classes, and it was something I'd kind of heard about, and I was interested in it. The woman that taught it was fascinating, and the thing that was not correct for me was the idea that hypnobirthing will take away the pain in labor if you practice it. There's a huge overarching thinking, like, if you believe in this, it will be the source of
Los Angeles
freedom
is
for you.
Full of cults. It's like you can't escape.
True. It's so it's true. Like,
just go deep in your mind and you will be rich and painless.
And I think it was good for me to have gone through that, because the minute I ended up going into labor, I was like, oh my God, what? I did it wrong. And so there was like some element of like shame because it hurts so bad. I stalled at 6 centimeters from like 3 a.m. until noon.
What?
I went ooh, into the shower.
Oh, Lord.
Yep.
Hospital or home?
That was the transfer to the hospital.
Okay. Got it.
So I went into the shower and I had a minute by myself, which again, I think is important. And now that I understand the hormones, I can look back on that and like kind of get that. And my husband came in and I love him so much. And he was like, okay, how's it going or whatever. And I was just like, I think I want that epidural, but I'm afraid I'm going to disappoint you and I can't handle it. And I looked at him and he had like his own emotional experience that had nothing to do with maybe even what I had said. It had to do with like hospitals and his own story. And in that moment, I was like, oh, I got to do this for me. Like, if I'm going to do this, I got to do this for me. And so I told myself if I dilated any bit at all, I wanted her to check me, then I would keep going. Otherwise, I was going to get an epidural. Again, assertiveness. I knew that. I held my ground. I knew where I was standing. I slowly got out of the shower, ambled over to the bed. The midwife checked me. I was at 6 1/4.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, thank you. I made that choice. I promised myself I'm going to go with what I said. All of this is in my head.
Yeah.
And then I laid on my right side where it was having trouble dilating, and the baby was born like 1.5 hours later. You know, as I got into teaching years later, what you're really teaching is pain management. Who you are and how you cope in this world is not going to change once you're giving birth. When you stub your toe, how are you? Do you wince? Are you dramatic? Are you quiet? Mm-hmm. No hypnobirthing is going to change the way that you cope when you're in pain. The goal in labor is to understand that beforehand and then find tools to help you surrender. And if you think about that pain and you think about like a hot skillet and butter going down it, and you can think of a way, whatever the visualization is, of just opening, and maybe you're tight in your shoulders, but you start to breathe and relax the muscles during the pain.
Yeah, everybody listening is feeling so good right now. That butter, the butter metaphor. I was like, ooh, girl.
relax.
You're going to orgasm. Is there right? Too late. Orgasm. You feel that? You feel that contraction?
I guess. Listen, do you feel that? Should there be a workshop where everybody just stubs their toe and they're like, yeah, birth's going to be hard. We're going to have to work on this.
Well, you know, there was something that people would do that was holding a piece of ice.
Oh my God.
And I didn't ever do this. And I never did this with my students. But I think it's kind of interesting because then you learn where your brain goes as you're holding this piece of ice. Like, where's your brain? Where's your panic? How's your breath?
I mean, this is like Tony Robbins stuff, though, right? Hot coals and all totally. That crap. It's like,
and why would it be any different?
Right.
You're talking about the most fundamental thing that humans go through. You're talking about something man cannot make. Not really. You know, like, no matter what, however many machines or businesses or whatever, nothing's going to be more profound than the human life. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because it's born knowing how to make more human life. That's insane.
Right. And it's different every time. And the fact that my doctor admitted to me while giving birth, they're like, we really don't know what happened. Honestly, it was so comforting because I was like, it's such a mystery. And like, we hire so many people, $2,000 a birth or whatever.
Yeah.
Like to be like, I don't know either, but it's OK.
Yeah. Yeah.
So weird.
And that it's actually, that's what becomes a surrender about it. And that's what becomes the most beautiful thing about it, because it is something you're engaging in that you have no control over the outcome, which is most things in life, by the way. We just think that 100%. We have control. But that's what's beautiful about it. Mm-hmm. It's a release. It's poetic in that way, right?
Can you do it in your doula voice, please?
It's poetic. In that way. Is that what you mean? My doula voice in that way? It's a poetic thing.
Butter on a skillet.
In 2, 3.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
You're a delight and so fun to talk about this stuff. Can you plug your podcast for me?
Yep. My podcast is called The Story of Mom. It's on iTunes and Spotify and Stitcher and wherever you find podcasts, wherever you pod. I've heard people say that and I'm always like, they're so cool. Those podcast people who say pod are cool. So get it wherever you pod.
Whether that's in your mucus plug,
cervix. Or your birth contract. Just pod away, man.
Okay, now let's check back in with the women who are constantly delivering the comedy, Rebecca and Amanda. All right, final question. Did you poop?
On the table?
Yeah.
Yes.
Amanda, did you poop?
I did not, although I'm not sure if all the women around me were lying to me or not, but I've been told that I didn't.
I know for sure I did, because I was like, am I pooping right now, like while I was pushing? And my doctor was like, yeah, but that's good. That means you're doing the right thing. And then later I was like, BJ, you saw me poop. He's like, that's the least of what I saw.
You were like, what color was it? What was the consistency? And you're like, no, BJ.
It's like, good. I ate a lot of fiber.
Did you have corn?
Did you poop?
No. Well, because I had to fast because they were going to give me a C-section. Oh. There's the key, girls.
To not pooping.
You don't
want to
shit on the bed. Just fast for 8 hours.
Oh, I can't imagine.
So cute. Well, thanks, guys, for talking about birth plans and doulas. And I'll. Could you take us out on one last character doula, Rebecca?
Martha Graham, doula. We're going to contract and release. Contract and release. And contract!
Well, if I've learned anything, it's that even the experts don't know shit about birth. But don't forget that I did not shit during birth. The most important thing when heading into birth is to not judge yourself and trust your instincts about what you need.
plan or no plan, one size does not fit all when it comes to pushing out our tiny creatures. No matter how it gets done, you're doing a great job. I'd like to thank my guest, Shelley Slocum, for delivering a happy, healthy interview, and my trusty panel of Rebecca Johnson and Amanda Dibert for always making me laugh. Thank you for listening. Please reach out to me through our website, motherofallshows.com, if you have any questions, thoughts, or topics you'd like to hear. We are also all over social media at MOASPod. This podcast is produced by Jen Perry Leamy, written by Rebecca Johnson, music by Jerome Curtinpack, and edited by Tracy Levy and Amanda Lund. I'm a proud part of the Erios Network. Please subscribe and rate the Mother of All Shows on Apple, Spotify, Acast, or wherever you listen. It will really help us out. Like looking the other way when I rinse out my coffee cup with water in the sink and call it washed. We will have links to the topics and resources we discussed today on our website. See you for the next one. Oh, and if you had an orgasm during birth, please don't tell me. No one needs to know about that. But I'm happy for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.